540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Booked and released today in Georgia, but John Eastman still doubling down on 2020.
Do you still think the election was stolen?
Absolutely.
Still?
No question. No question in my mind.
He is accused of creating that fake electors scheme and now faces charges along with former President Trump. Trump, of course, said to surrender Thursday after tomorrow's Republican primary debate in Milwaukee. CBS's Aaron Navarro.
The day after the debate, Trump will be in Georgia for the Fulton County for the arrest there. And from talking to Republican strategists yesterday, they acknowledged that could really take some of the oxygen out of whoever really performs well at this debate.
South Texas is getting hit by Harold now. Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams is tracking the tropical storm.
A tropical storm warning stretches 200 miles, rainfall rates an inch an hour or more, and these gusty winds could take out power, kick up surf, and cause coastal flooding.
All eight people, including six children, have now been rescued from a dangling chairlift in Pakistan. They were stuck thousands of feet above ground for hours after a cable snapped on their way to school.
Lo que vimos fue un gesto inaceptable.
Spain's prime minister is slamming Soccer Federation president Luis Rubiales for kissing a female player on the lips after the country's World Cup win. Pedro Sanchez calls it unacceptable and says Rubiales' apology is not enough. He welcomed and celebrated the team's victory today at the presidential palace. President Biden outlined his new student loan forgiveness plan today.
To pay back that loan, you had to pay 10% of your discretionary income. That's all the income available to you after you pay for food, housing, and all your basic needs. Under my new plan, reducing that payment to just 5% of your disposable income.
Eligible borrowers can enroll now. Otherwise, repayments resume in October. Three people are dead and three others are in the hospital from drinking milkshakes in Tacoma. Cairo's Bridget Chavez is there.
The Washington State Department of Health says the milkshake machines weren't cleaned correctly, and investigators found listeria in the ice cream. Bill Marler is a food safety lawyer.
If anyone has headaches, pain in their arms, they need to go to the hospital immediately.
Screen time could be hurting your kids. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez.
A new study in the journal JAMA Pediatrics finds one-year-olds exposed to more than 4 hours of screen time a day are up to three times as likely to experience developmental delays in speech, problem solving, and social skills by the time they're two.
They can scream all they want, but experts say screens limit verbal exchanges. This is CBS News.
At Staples, school savings are always in session. From art supplies and essentials to the latest tech, in stock and priced low. School on, save on at your local Staples store.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With the news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. If you're not good at dealing with the heat, you might want to start researching cooling centers now. Most communities have already started posting locations where relief can be sought. This morning, the National Weather Service updated our area with an excessive heat warning. That runs all day tomorrow, with heat index values hitting near 115. Officials say to stay hydrated, seek cool places, and check in on vulnerable neighbors. Road closures and a no parking zone will be enforced around the Fiserv Forum due to the Republican primary debate. People going to the debate must go through security screening to park at specific locations, and the Deer District will be closed to pedestrian traffic from this morning until Thursday night. Police say road closure details could change, and those attending the event should anticipate potential delays. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it being made, a lot of it made in the last 24 hours. I'm going to start with a debate tomorrow. Debate tomorrow here in Milwaukee, down in the Deer District, down at the Fiserv Arena. I'm going to give you some of the lowlights. First, Moms for Liberty, that the Southern Poverty Law Center has branded an extremist anti-government organization, is hosting a discussion with Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson at the Pfister. In the past, the Milwaukee teachers and other groups have protested at Moms for Liberty. If you're near the Pfister tomorrow, you might want to check with the Milwaukee teachers and see what their plans are. This thing, we just elected this guy, not me, not you, but this guy just got elected in a dirty campaign where he blackened Mandela Barnes' skin, falsely linked him with the guy who murdered people in the Waukesha Christmas parade. Somehow he got in. And he's doing what? A meeting and discussion group with the Moms for Liberty, an extremist anti-government group? That's not Wisconsin. We don't like extremist organizations in the state. We don't like anti-government organizations in this state. If we don't like the government, we change the government, vote for somebody else. So that's one of the lowlights. Second, about 7,000 people are expected to attend. That's about a third of the capacity of the arena, 7,000 people. But it's filled a lot of the hotels around here. It'll fill a lot of the restaurants. Unfortunately, some of the people you will see in the hotels and restaurants are Carrie Lake of Arizona, Trafficker Gates, Matt Gaetz of Florida, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Ilsa the She-Wolf of QAnon, and other people of that ilk. There's a new group that's formed, Coalition to March on the Republican National Convention in 2024. Omar Flores is the co-chair, and he's announced that they're planning to protest at this debate. How about another lowlight? That's a highlight, but how about another lowlight? Young Americans for Freedom, hosted by and led now by Scott Walker. Remember him, Governor Scott Walker? will hold a plaza block party through which debate attendees will enter. Now, that is a real low line. Scott Walker badly hurt this state for 8 years. He really changed the culture, the political culture of the state in a bad way. The Young Americans for Freedom is a group that was around in the 1960s. I'd heard about them, and I knew some of them in the 1960s when I was in college. We called them Yaffers. They were Yaffers. They're still Yaffers. I honestly do not know how people continue to buy into that stuff. But Scott, so there you have. There you have Ron Johnson in with the Moms for Liberty. Scott Walker with the Yaffers. Holding events. Holding events. There are going to be 8 attendees. Looks like 8 people qualified. The 3 or 4 who didn't are screaming, rigged, rigged. The winners laugh and tell jokes. The losers cry deal. It's an old poker saying. Who are the 8? It's not Donald Trump. He's going to live stream some interview he did with Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson was fired from Fox. I mean, that's as low as you get. If you are fired by the lowest of the low, what does that make you? Well, for one thing, the ostensible reason was that he had lied about the voting machines, and it cost Fox almost $800 million. I think it was about $780 or $90 million. The real reason is that this guy, Tucker Carlson, has a lot of prejudices. One of them is against women. And his boss, the head of news at Fox, was a woman. He thought it'd be a good idea to send texts to people referring to his boss with the C word. And she fired him. What do you think? Look, this is a low life. Trump's a low life. And they're posting it on what X that used to be called Twitter, trying to suck up to Elon Musk. So that's coming up. But 8 of them, 8 are actually going to be on the stage. Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis, Chris Christie, Mike Pence, Vivek Ramaswamy, truther. He just came out and doubled down yesterday and said the government lied about January 6th and it lied about 9/11. This guy, you know, this guy's wasting my time even having to pronounce his name. Truther Ramaswamy, he's no going nowhere. Nikki Haley, Tim Scott. A guy named Doug Burgum, if I didn't tell you more about him, you go, all right, Doug Burgum, who's Doug Burgum? Maybe he works at Real Chili on Wall Street. No, he doesn't. He's the governor of North Dakota. Had nothing going for him. And Asa Hutchinson. The people who aren't going to be there are Francis Suarez of Miami. He didn't qualify. The guy, Will Hurd of Texas, former congressman, he didn't qualify. Larry Elder, a radio host in California, who tried to take on Gavin Newsom, remember that, and lost badly. And a guy named, now, Perry Johnson. Perry Johnson, they just say businessman. I never heard of Perry Johnson. Of course, I was talking to a guy the other day. I said, you ever heard of Chester Arthur? Never heard of Chester Arthur. Chester Arthur was president of the United States back in about the 1880s. Here's the deal. First of all, we're going to go to the lines. The 2 debates coming up after ours. The second one will be in California in September. The 3rd may be in Alabama in October, because the Republican Party wants to stand with Tommy Tuberville, who has denied the Navy a lead admiral, Marines a lead general, Army a lead general. The one good thing that's happened, there is what's called a spin room after a debate, where all the candidates have their chiefs of staff and their media people go in trying to convince all the reporters that their person won, their guy won. Trump has been banned from the spin room because he's not on the debate stage. So he wanted to send his flacks in there, and they said, you can't do it. Bit of an update going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling What's in Mind today. Wisco Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. You know what a real highlight is? Our current president, Joe Biden, his accomplishments, so far are second to none. None of these guys that are going on stage can even hold a candle to this man. Starting number one, the Inflation Reduction Act, well, actually infrastructure, and then putting NATO back together. NATO is what Trump completely destroyed, and we have things going really good in the world stage is what I'm trying to say here. So there's nobody better than this guy that is running, and he needs to be reelected. So that's all I want to say today. Go Biden. I'm riding with Biden. Thanks, Matt.
Riding with Biden. I'm riding with you and Biden. Let me tell you something, Paul. I enjoy your calls. I appreciate them. And you are a necessary corrective, because it's too easy and, frankly, too much fun for me to point out the grotesque nature of the opposition. I do it frequently. I think you should be informed. I think it's important. But the truth of the matter is, ultimately, there'll be one Republican nominee. And whether Trump goes to the White House or the big house isn't going to make much difference, because he ain't going to the White House. Joe Biden's going to beat him. Joe Biden would beat any one of these clowns. Let me tell you something. I just mentioned eight names, and not one of them could run a lemonade stand. What Paul is saying is the vital fact of this race. Take a look at performance. Joe Biden is an excellent president, a good, honest, and decent man. He had hard infrastructure. He passed it in a divided Congress, a Senate, basically a 50-50 Senate, and he passed it. He passed soft infrastructure. He got Joe Manchin to come around. The guy is a master. Joe Biden has been in the Senate since 1972, when he was 29 years old. He was elected. How did that happen? Since you have to be 30? Because he was elected in November of 72, when he was 29. He turned 30 in December of 72, so they could swear him in January. There's nobody in the history of the United States, going back to George Washington, who has more experience in the Senate than Joe Biden. Paul mentioned NATO. Donald Trump stabbed NATO. He sucked up to Putin. He disparaged NATO. He would call the prime minister of the UK. He would call, well, as the chancellor, Angela Merkel of Germany, and insult them, because they're women. He would never call a guy and insult them, but he would call them and say they were stupid. And I'm not kidding you. They are weak. And Theresa May at the time was the prime minister of the UK, and she was shaken by it. Angela Merkel was not shaken by it. But how does that make you feel when the president of your strongest ally, on whom you rely for security in many cases, is saying you're stupid and weak? Who the heck does he think he is talking to people like that? Much less the heads of state elsewhere. Joe Biden has restored NATO. He's actually gotten Finland and Sweden into NATO over Turkish objections. He has restored our alliances in the Pacific. He calls it a mini NATO, Japan, South Korea, the United States, Australia, Vietnam, our former enemy, the Philippines, standing tall against China in the South China Sea. We cannot turn the government of this country over to any of the clowns who will be on the stage tomorrow, and we definitely can't turn it back over to Donald Trump. I like it every time Paul and other callers call in and remind us of the reason we have Joe Biden and why it's essential that we keep Joe Biden. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get into Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude,
Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. An excessive heat warning begins at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning and continues until 9 p.m. tomorrow night. An excessive heat watch begins at 9 p.m. tomorrow night and continues until 8 p.m. Thursday night. 69 tonight, under mainly clear skies, south winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. High of 98 tomorrow, lows around 74 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 81 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go right to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll take you in order. Gene Beauclair, my friend, you're first. What's in your mind today, Gene?
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Matt, and great show, and glad you're bringing up the negatives because we have to remember it, because I'm riding with Biden. He's an outstanding president. And, you know, I remember all of the Trump's responses to significant issues that happened in our country, the pandemic. What did he do? Tried to deny it, wouldn't do anything about it, and then he puts people that have no knowledge of those issues, and we get Biden, and he gets on it right away and starts changing things. We also, with all of the disasters that we are having in our country due to the Republicans poo-pooing climate change and those types of things, and I remember his responses to people, you know, Puerto Rico, I can still see him throwing paper towels at the people there and then talking really disparaging about our fellow Americans. So, I mean,
right.
There's no choice in my mind as a man who is restoring hope to our country and, you know, just totally being discredited and attacked
right.
by people with the R after their name. So thank you very much, Matt. Have good
yeah,
day.
Thank you, Gene. Yeah, no, and we can't have Trump. I mean, Trump is on the take from Putin. He is a tool of Russian intelligence. He let those classified documents loosely lie around so the Ruskies could find them. And we had a number of undercover agents captured and killed in Russia and in China. Bob and Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Bob?
Well, a couple things. Why doesn't Jack Smith go directly to it in the 14th Amendment, the civil case, insurrectionist Trump is not eligible for the ballot? That's the first thing. And the second thing is the Georgia legislature is trying to take the case away from fire Lanny Willis and kill that case and isn't that obstruction of justice? Can
right.
anything be done about that?
Right. So, yeah, I'm going to pick up on. No, listen. Thank you for raising that. Before I go to the next call, for those of you who are not familiar with what Bob just said, they are now starting in the Georgia legislature. They passed a law about a month ago. That they can, the legislature can remove anybody they want who's a prosecutor. And there's a movement afoot to remove Fannie Willis. And then they'd put in some hack who would dismiss the cases. That's going on. So, there's three things. Some people think that Brian Kemp, the governor, wouldn't sign off on that. But number two, at some point you go into federal court and you say, look, what are they? Go around and they fire black prosecutors who go in after a white collar criminal. No, I mean, that is something that's a violation of a lot of things. I'm not going to get into them. Thank you for bringing that up. Jack of Merrimack, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Jack?
Well, I thought you'd like to hear a little bit of the resume of the Moms for Liberty. Most of this information is easily available online, which is where I found a lot of it. First of all, they started out by opposing COVID safety restrictions in school. They, of course, opposed rights for all. I mean, that is to say, especially LGBTQ rights, but they're basically, they want their control and they don't want anybody else to have any rights. They also oppose honest racial education by trying to ban different classes. They want to control even what can be discussed in the classroom. They want to ban books. They don't just promote their ideas, though. They actually harass teachers, librarians, and school boards. They, for instance, filed a false claim of child abuse against the school board. They also offer a bounty, or they did, for anybody reporting teachers who discussed the wrong subjects in class. They're affiliated with the Proud Boys. They've been promoted by Breitbart. They've been promoted by Goyim Defense League, which is clearly an anti-Semitic organization. And they've used quotes from Hitler in their literature. This is a wonderful organization.
I'm really indebted to you. Somebody out there, Jack, maybe you, call Ron Johnson's office and say, why are you sponsoring them? I mean, this is Wisconsin. Why are you having a discussion event with them at the debate tomorrow? Why is the Republican Party associating themselves with it? But also, why is Wisconsin now represented by a guy who is in bed with these people? Listen, thanks a lot. That was a great call. Mary of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Mary?
Hi, Matt. How are you? I want to switch the topic a little and talk about Tommy Tuberville and, you know, how he says he doesn't want to undermine the readiness of our military. But I was reading something recently where an opinion was brought up where perhaps Tommy Tuberville is preventing, is sort of not putting in military leaders, not approving them or affirming them. I'm not confirming them because he's waiting for Donald Trump to get in, and then they can fill the military leadership with their, anti-democratic insurrectionists.
Yeah, let me respond to that, Mary, and I'll respond to it quickly now. And if we, and by the way, there are a couple of other great callers on the line. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. We have 1 minute. But Mary, somebody called in on that before, and I don't agree with that. I think Tommy Tuberville really just hates the United States. Our generals and admirals are all excellent. Our military academies don't have insurrectionists in them. They do not have people who attack our democracy. They stand by our democracy, and that's one of the things that helped us before. It's not as if there's some civilians out there, some hacks he can put in. Virtually any admiral or general who goes in will be fine from that perspective, but some are more competent than others, and that's why we want these people in, and it's wrong for the Senate to continue to let one guy do it. But I stand by the military. There are nobody can put in there that would be insurrectionists. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Do not hang up.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. John Eastman, who's accused of cooking up fake electors schemes during the 2020 election in Georgia, is raging against the justice machine.
The attempt to criminalize our rights to such redress with this indictment will have and is already having profound consequences for our system of justice.
Tropical Storm Harold is expected to soak South Texas most of the day. John Cangliosi is a hurricane specialist at the National Hurricane Center.
We expect tropical storm conditions, heavy rain, and coastal flooding to be widespread really across South Texas throughout the day today.
President Biden's revised his controversial student forgiveness plan. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
This income-driven repayment plan requires borrowers to repay 5% of their disposable income instead of the current 10%. And those who earn less than $30,000 will pay nothing until they earn more.
Those who don't qualify will have to pick up repayments again in October. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
With the news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Area school districts in session are getting ready for the anticipated extreme heat. The heat index is expected to hit triple digits tomorrow and on Thursday. Milwaukee Public School officials say they're keeping a close watch on the situation and will notify families and staff if any changes to school schedules are needed. Some football and other sports programs say they'll also likely adjust due to the heat. A big Oconomowoc Park is shut down due to the sighting of a mouse. The city says the Imagination Station playground will be temporarily closed due to the discovery of a mouse in a burrow hole. The wooded and damp surroundings of the play area, coupled with food remnants on the ground, can attract mice. Updates on the reopening of the playground will be posted on Oconomowoc's social media pages. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Don't hang up. I'm getting you now. Bobby Eau Claire, my friend, you're first. What's on your mind today, Bobby?
Hi there, Matt. I've missed you for the last couple of days, so I should apologize in advance in case you covered it. But last week, that news broke that the Foxconn Innovation Centers, that they were called, in Eau Claire in Green Bay, that Scooter had his little press stunt right before the 2018 governor's election, and he opened those, I think, in August. And Foxconn said, oh, we're going to open these innovation centers so we can spread out our business throughout the state of Wisconsin, because up in Eau Claire and over in Green Bay, I know everybody was frustrated with all the money that Scooter was putting down into Foxconn, because we weren't seeing that business elsewhere throughout the state. Anyways, news broke last week that, oh, lo and behold, they didn't actually do anything in those innovation centers. In Eau Claire, for example, that center has sat empty since 2018 in really prime real estate in our downtown that we put a lot of money into kind of revitalizing and turning into a really nice area. And Foxconn has sat on that building since 2018. Finally, they're selling it, of course, for a profit. But What a joke. And Scooter was a piece of crap. And anyways, I just wanted to hear your take on it, because I know you thought of that whole debacle.
All right. Excellent call. Just real quick, I'll give you my take and we're going to the next caller. That was a scam. The whole thing was a scam. Because, and when I was a candidate for governor in 2018, what I pointed out when Walker did that was this. I said, look, it wasn't just Eau Claire. He bought him in Green Bay. He brought him downtown Milwaukee and a lot of other places. And it was going to spread the business around. All they did was lease them to the present tenants and then sell them for profit. Green Bay just got a big profit. This was a scam. But nobody saw that back then. And frankly, I thought then and I thought now we should have sued them for breach of contract and fraud. Instead, there was a different result. But thank you for calling. You're absolutely right. Joe of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, eh, Joe?
I just wanted to add on to what Wisco Paul started the hour with, was talking about the achievements of Joe Biden in contrast to those who are seeking the Republican nomination. And I just wanted to mention one thing. There's been a lot of yakking about what Joe Biden's response to the disaster in Maui and that terrible wildfire that went through. So I want you to take a guess on how long it took the Governor Green of Hawaii issued a request for an expedited declaration, disaster declaration, to the federal government. The state has to ask for help. And I want you to take a guess as to how long it took for Biden to respond to this. And the answer is 63 minutes. And the reason why they were able to do it in 63 minutes is because they knew this had happened. They worked with the governor through the night. His staff worked with the governor to get exactly the sorts of things that they would need for their particular situation, whether it be transportation, whether it be cadaver dogs, all of that, to get what they needed. And that then had to go hand in hand with FEMA, that helped them shape the request, and then to the Office of Management and Budget to go over the numbers, go through lawyers, so that they were able to move it that quickly. So he found out about it at one night. The next morning, the governor issues his request. Within 63 minutes, it is responded to by President Biden, because he knows how to cut through bureaucracy and get this stuff to people. And I just would contrast that. Apparently, people were very pleased with what Obama had done during Hurricane Sandy. And that took a day for that to get that information to get in and then signed off on by President Obama. Let us compare and contrast to that flaming dumpster fire that was Bush's response to Katrina, which long-term effects in that community because of the delayed response and inadequate, terrible response. So 63 minutes, okay? Prepare your request, submit 63 minutes.
Excellent call, Joe. You're absolutely right. And I'll add two things. In Katrina, you know, there were these people flooding out of Louisiana, and some of them were heading for Texas, and the police drove some of them back on the bridge. They didn't want them. You know, how about Trump down in Puerto Rico? One of the prior callers alluded to the fact that he sent paper towels. Took a year to clean it up. And with, you're right, 63 minutes. But in addition to that, this kills me. And then we're going to go to the next caller. This absolutely kills me. The Republican National Committee and the Republicans blasted Biden because as he was walking along, there was a guy holding a cadaver dog on a leash. Biden owns two German shepherds. He likes dogs. So he leaned down and he petted the dog, scratched his head and kept going. It probably lasted a minute. And the Republican Party criticized him for wasting his time and the dog's time. You know, the Republican Party, and you said Hurricane Sandy. Yeah, that's true. And Obama did a great job. But the Republicans blocked any aid to New Jersey and New York for that hurricane because they're blue states. The red state, they wouldn't vote for it. And you know what Boehner did? John Boehner, he was the speaker, he's a moderate. He put together whatever Republicans would vote for it, and then he got Democrats to vote for it. And that may have been one of the things that cost him his speakership. He said, the hell with this, because the Freedom Caucus and those kinds of people went after him. The Republican Party is not only inefficient, it's malevolent, and it's in bad faith when it comes to anything having to do with disasters. And, they're going to attack Biden. It's not going to do him any good. Joe, thanks a lot for the call. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Well, a couple of thoughts. Thanks, Joe. And I can just think of a heck of a job, Brownie, that fell out of George Bush's mall. And as far as reaching down and scratching the dog on the head, I mean, that's what those dogs live for. They live for that praise. They live to do the job, and they live for the love and the praise that they get for doing the job for those type of dogs. Anytime kind of dog that's trained for that kind of thing, that they live for the praise that they get. I've got a hunting dog that loves to hunt, and he lives for the praise, loves for what his little job is to do. But for those cadaver dogs, they love what they do, and they live for the praise for it. And what I originally called in is to say is that once again, we need to start prosecuting every single one of the people that was involved in the fake electors thing. Because now we got Rona McDaniels, who was shooting off her mouth. And apparently she was in on what was going to be going on, and she's qualified. Well, this is just a provisional plan in case, you know, we won on some of these other lawsuits. And from my read of the Constitution, I'm not a constitutional scholar, but I can read the English language and read in the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, Section 2, is that if there's an attempt to abridge with the provisions of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, Section 2, or does the people who it is we the people who select the electors, and if that is attempted to be abridged, that's a violation of the Constitution. Anybody who was aware of that, who was in on it, who went along with it and is now defending it, they're in violation of their oath to the Constitution and should be removed from office. I'm sorry right. if that's too harsh, but I mean that these people have to recognize that their duty is to the Constitution, to uphold the Constitution, not to Donald Trump or his ideology or your party's ideology. Your oath is to the people and to the Constitution of the United States.
Right. I agree with you. Let me build on that, and that ties into something that Bob of Madison had called in a little earlier on. I want to talk about it. He had said, why doesn't Jack Smith simply in his lawsuit try to get, in effect, a declaratory judgment or an injunction that Trump not even be permitted to run because he can't serve? And you're raising the good point that under the 14th Amendment, not just Trump, but a lot of these people should be removed. I agree with you both, but I want to tell you how it works. And I also want to say this. I could not agree more on that the fake electors in Wisconsin have got to be prosecuted. Tony Evers has called for it. We're calling for it. You're calling for it. It's a no-brainer. Why do I say that? Because that's a big part of the prosecution in Atlanta, and it's a big part of the prosecution in Washington, D.C. You have to have two overt acts for this kind of a conspiracy. How about paragraph 64 in Fannie Willis's indictment? That relates to a meeting that was held in Wisconsin that the president, chairman of the Republican Party here, attended. And it relates to the Wisconsin fake electors. And 101 in Jack Smith's indictment relates to Ron Johnson, who's meeting with Moms for Liberty tomorrow. Ron Johnson had the fake electors in his pocket, the Michigan ones. And according to Jack Smith, he had the Wisconsin ones, too. You have a lot of other overt acts. Every signature on that fake elector petition or signature certification is an overt act. What Voss and Fitzgerald did were overt acts. This is a no-brainer. But to get back to the 14th Amendment, we talked about it a little bit the other day, but I want to really emphasize this. The 14th Amendment says somebody was part of an insurrection against the United States, and it's not just the Confederacy, it's any insurrection. They can't hold an office of public trust. And the president is certainly that. How is it executed? In other words, how is it accomplished? And several very distinguished constitutional scholars, Judge Luttig, who's a conservative, Lawrence Tribe of Harvard, who's a liberal, and several others, have pointed out that it's self-executing. Why is it self-executing? You don't need a court to say you can do it, because if the coup is successful, you want to get those people out, you can invoke it and then proceed under it. But how do you proceed under it? The procedure is the secretaries of state, when Trump tries to file to run in the Republican primary, for instance, in Wisconsin, Sarah Godlewski, I would say to Sarah, don't accept it. Don't accept the signatures. He can't be on it because he led an insurrection. Obviously, that has political risk to Sarah. And you know, there's a Republican presence in this state. What would happen, A, if she doesn't let him on the ballot, B, if she does let him on the ballot, either way, somebody's going to sue in federal court. When they sue in federal court, it'll go initially to probably in Dane County. Might go to my friend Bill Connolly over there. He's a great federal judge in Madison. He might, I would think, I'm not going to prejudge the case. Bill would look at it. But it's very possible Bill Connolly would say Sarah Godlewski's correct. That would go to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. You sit in three judge panels up there in Chicago. I clerked on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals for the chief judge, one of the greatest judges in Wisconsin history, the Honorable Thomas E. Fairchild, who was also a former Wisconsin Supreme Court judge. It might depend on what panel you get. They have real conservatives down there and people who are more moderate, but it's a matter of law. And let's say they upheld it. Then it'll go to the U.S. Supreme Court. Here is the fly in the ointment. What do you think Clarence Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Roberts, and what do you think they will all do? My fear is that they will read something into the 14th Amendment that isn't there, that there's that says there has to be judicial approval of it. But how do you get judicial approval when the coup has already placed these federal judges in place before the coup started? They've been there for a couple of years. Clarence Thomas has been there for 30 years, and he's been on the take for a long time. This is the court, for instance, that said that the Voting Rights Act is no good after it had been in effect since the 60s, and the Senate 95-0, just before their decision, had extended it to 2031. They didn't say it was unconstitutional. They said it's not necessary anymore. Who the hell are they? No one elected them. They said under Dobbs, Mississippi v. Dobbs, Dobbs v. Mississippi, that the states could set abortion policy. Immediately, Oklahoma and Texas said that you can't get one even to save the life of the mother. Woman's in Oklahoma or Texas. Doctor says that she has an ectopic pregnancy and she is developing sepsis. He says if you don't do something, you could die. But I'm not going to do it, he says, because I don't want to get thrown in jail by the local DA who wants to be governor. Can you afford to go to California? This is the Supreme Court that did this. This is the Supreme Court that did this. They also did Citizens United. After 100 years of other Supreme Courts, several of them, and 100 years of Congresses saying that corporations couldn't give money and you couldn't give money secretly, they said they were wrong. You have people on the Supreme Court who are in there for life, who are lying, who are corrupt. Some of them are taking money, and they're just saying, well, it's our opinion. We can't be reviewed. We review Congress and we review the president. They can't review us. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. An excessive heat warning begins at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning and continues until 9 p.m. tomorrow night. An excessive heat watch begins at 9 p.m. tomorrow night and continues until 8 p.m. Thursday night. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 69. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 97. Lows around 74 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 81 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Donald Trump had his lawyers negotiate the conditions of his arrest and surrender. He will be arrested and surrendered. That is term of art. Thursday. He's going to wait till right after the debate. Then on Thursday, here are some of the conditions of bail. And I'll tell you what, Fannie Willis and the court down there do not fool around. He cannot have no contact with any of his co-defendants other than through his lawyers. He can't call one of them up and threaten them or cajole them or bribe them. He can issue no threats to jurors or witnesses on social media or otherwise, including tweets and retweets. See, one of his trademarks is he'll repost or retweet something somebody else has posted. Can't even do that. As I say, no social media threats. Going to surrender on Thursday. Eastman and Cheesebro have already negotiated their surrender. They have a $100,000 bond. Trump is a $200,000 bond. We said before, the Georgia legislature is rushing now to try to remove Fannie Willis, stand by, and then put in a hack, a gay woman type, who will presumably then just dismiss this thing. Stand by. Brian Kemp, the governor, may not go along with that. And if he does, I would go to federal court and say, what is this? They go around the state plucking off African-American prosecutors who prosecute white guys who are up for white-collar crime. How about organized crime? What the hell is this? They just passed that law letting them do it about a month or two ago. Here's the language, quote, "The defendant shall perform no act to intimidate any person known to him to be a co-defendant or witness in the case or otherwise obstruct the administration of justice. No direct or indirect threats against co-defendants or witnesses. The above shall include, but are not limited to, posts on social media or reposts of posts made by another individual on social media." Okay, immediately, what do you think he did? He attacked Fannie Willis because he technically has not gone in yet. He doesn't go in until Thursday. You see how sneaky he is. Very, very sneaky. So here's what he did. He attacked Fannie Willis. He is angry that she demanded a $200,000 bond. I would have demanded a $2 million bond. I mean, he'd stiff that anyway. He never pays anything. He leaves town. But here's what he said on Truth Social. He posted this because he technically hasn't signed that bond agreement and consent agreement at his surrender. He won't do that till Thursday, so he's getting his licks in. Here's what he goes. Not kidding. He says, quote, "The failed district attorney of Fulton County insisted on a $200,000 bond. I assume she thought I was a flight risk, that I'd fly far away, maybe to Russia, share a golden domed suite with Vladimir, never to be seen again. Now, let me analyze that. In fact, let me psychoanalyze that, even though I'm not a psychiatrist. This constant reference to Vladimir Putin and to Russia, even if he claims this was humorous, you know, in Shakespeare, in Hamlet, there's a great line where somebody looks like they're insane, mad, and the line is, "Methinks there's method in it. Methinks there's method in it. There's method in this. This seeming joke in this case." The other day, he said, "I am the apple of his eye," talking about Vladimir Putin. You don't say that about anyone unless you have a close personal relationship, like a family, your parents, or somebody you're having a romantic relationship with. There's something sexually submissive about Trump and Vladimir Putin. There's something homoerotic about Trump and Vladimir Putin. And not that they ever did anything in private physically, but what I'm saying is, because he was diagnosed as a sadonarcissist, the flip side of sadism is masochism, the works of the Marquis de Sade. And this constant, who the hell would say, "She's afraid I will go to Russia and share a golden domed suite with Vladimir"? Not even his last name, Vladimir. He said, for instance, he loved Kim Jong-un. That's what he said. "I'm in love with Kim Jong-un of North Korea." Right after Kim Jong-un captured and tortured Otto Warmbier, the University of Virginia student. This is a sick man. Those of you who are out there, those of you who are out there, who are Trump supporters, Republicans, or independents, listen to this very carefully. Many of us are tired with this homoerotic deference to Donald Trump in your party. We had a state senator here who said to Donald Trump with a message, "I am but a bobby pin to your Thor's hammer." That is a submissive thing to say. Now, in cult culture, this sort of submission is heard of. It's not pleasant. But this is a guy who said that he is the apple of Vladimir Putin's eye, and that he supposes that somebody thinks he'll go to Russia and share a golden-domed suite with Vladimir. That's submissive. Actually, it's sort of poetic in a homoerotic way. If you look back at Shelley's poem, Ozymandias, "In Xanadu did Kublai Khan a stately pleasure dome decree, where off the sacred river ran through caverns measureless to man down to the sounding sea." So Trump is no poet, but I think he would like to share a golden dome suite with Vladimir. I think he'd like to be the apple of Vladimir's eye, but Vladimir is a genocidal sadist. Well, enough of the politics, We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. You make the show. Great callers, as always. Stand by for another great show. Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate, Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Great show, man. A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.